Hello, welcome to the Bev Moore Show, live streaming on the iHeart Network and over 185 broadcast stations in 37 countries. I'm your host, Bev Moore. My guest today is a Hollywood award-winning film and TV director. David Winning is my guest today, known for directing over 20 Hallmark Christmas movies, the kids' Power Rangers series of the 90s, and he is the director of the Friday the 13th series for Paramount Pictures, and many more TV and film credits. Highlights of David Winning's outstanding movie and TV career are coming up. Stay with us.
I thought I knew what I was talking about when I testified of your great love. Well, I was a soul on fire, there was no doubt. Bible believing, saved and washed in the blood. But it was until I stumbled and made my mistakes that I could know in my soul how amazing was grace. You brought me blessings out.
Hollywood film and television director David Winning is coming up after the break. When we come back, David talks about becoming a filmmaker at age 10.
Military families often sacrifice precious time away from loved ones while serving our country. And for those with children, the separation can be especially difficult.
We were worried that with him leaving, that she would lose those connections with her dad.
Some of life's best moments happen between parents, children, and the pages of a good book. United Through Reading provides that connection.
You can watch your mom or dad read a book to you, and it almost feels like they're really there.
We ensure they remain a consistent, meaningful part of their children's lives, no matter the distance.
Just seeing Jacob recognize Daddy again after a long time just melted my heart.
And now, as we're facing greater isolation from our loved ones, United Through Reading is also available to veterans. Learn more about United Through Reading and download our free secure app at unitedthroughreading.org.
I would like to welcome my guest, David Winning. David is a film and television director and producer. 45 features, 29 series, over 180 TV credits, David Winning is a U.S.-Canada dual citizen and veteran film and television director and producer. Experience in all genres, sci-fi, horror, drama, action, theatrical release, movies of the week, episodic, romance, westerns, Christmas movies, comedy, family, kids series, live audience, multicam, situation comedies, web-based, just to name a few. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you, Bev. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I sound like an overachiever.
You sure do. I could say a lot more, but we don't have enough time. But you're a loaded potato, Dave.
I think this proves that if you live long enough, you get a long resume, which is okay.
Absolutely right. David, you brought your 25th movie for Hallmark Channel for a special free, Christmas in April?
I've been coming to the Houston Film Festival, World Fest, since the 90s. They gave me a real boost in the 90s when I was starting my first few films, and so I try to enter films and enter work that I've done and try to visit the people in Houston because they're just amazing and they put on a really great show every April, and it's just great to come down, and so they invited me down to do a sort of a special courtesy screening of a Hallmark Channel movie that I did that aired in December last year called Time for Him to Come Home for Christmas, the longest Christmas title in history. It's a series of five movies based on Blake Shelton's country song that he wrote, the Christmas song that he wrote back in the 80s and
90s. Oh, wow. I'll have to make sure to watch that. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
how can they look it up now?
Uh-huh. Yeah, there you go. I've been directing Christmas and other seasonal movies for the Hallmark Channel for about 6 or 7 years now, which has been great. I've done all sorts of things, as you mentioned, but lately I've been in the Christmas movie theme. So I checked The Grinch at the door, and I dove in about 5 or 6 years ago and started trying to direct these movies and make them as wonderful as I can, and I'm really proud of what we've done. This latest one is my 25th for Hallmark Channel.
That's an anniversary, isn't it?
I think it is. I don't know if it's paper or something. But anyway, yes, I'll have to get a present.
Wow. That would be a lot of fun to film those happy Christmas movies, because they always turn out the same way, you know? They're always real happy at the end. They have the typical ending. You know?
Absolutely, and I always call Hallmark movies safe harbor because, you know, in dark times,
right,
people can gravitate to entertainment like this, which is wonderful.
Right, you can always go there at Christmas with your family and watch a Hallmark, and you know you're going to come out safe and you're going to be happy, and it's just a good place to go, right?
And I've had a career. I've done all sorts of things, lots of, you know, scary shows and lots of thrillers and things, and it's nice to produce some wholesome family entertainment and know that I've been a part of it. And so the last few years have been a lot of fun.
I've got joy in the struggle. I've got peace in the storm. I've got strength in the battle. Don't fear anymore. I'm a child of heaven, and my hope is secure. I've got joy, 'cause I've got Jesus. He gave me beauty for ashes, turned my life around. He broke my chains, and now I dance on solid ground. For all he's done to save me, I will rise.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Well, let's talk about the Houston Film Festival, World Fest. I mean, I'm real interested in them because I was reading up on them, and they're like the third, like, oldest festival besides, New York and San Francisco is above them, and then they were the third. And
yeah.
Since 1961, is that right, 1961?
Yes, they started in actually 67 or 68. I think this is the 56th year, but a gentleman by the name of Hunter Todd and Kathleen Haney started this festival back in the late 60s, and they're very proud of being fiercely independent, and they're very proud of having, U.S. premieres of films from all over the world, which has been great.
Now, this is where Steven Spielberg was recognized, right?
Yeah, they hold the claim to fame for giving Amblin Entertainment and Steven Spielberg his first award for, I think, one of his first shorts that he did. And it might have been called Amblin, I think, which is why his company's called Amblin. And George Lucas has come here, and Ridley Scott, and all sorts of folks have kind of started with their first efforts in Houston. So they've been really great to the film industry, nurturing us along and giving us hope.
And you too. You're the biggie too. Yeah.
Me too. I'm very happy. The film that I have this year isn't in competition. It's just sort of a courtesy screening, and I know the guys here, and I really wanted to come down and say hi to my friends and give back a little bit and promote them because they've been really good to me over the years. So
yeah.
To give back.
So I'm in the film industry too. So let's say if I was to, enter one of my films, would you be a part of that, or are you involved in any way with the festival?
Not specifically. I have some years acted as a jury member for screenplays, for example. I'll read some of the scripts for them. Not every year, but occasionally I try to help them out with that. But they have their own folks that they select that go through all the different entries.
It goes through the films, an amazing
amount of entries every year. So,
I bet it's a lot. I can imagine. Yeah. So let's talk about you for a minute.
Okay. I know
you
something
were a
about
dream-
that.
Subject. Well, let's see here. You were a dreamer kid, it seems like, from the Canadian prairies, they say, making movies at the age of 10. With a Super 8 camera in your hometown in Canada.
That's true. I'm from Calgary, Alberta, and I started out on my 10th birthday. I got a movie camera, and I thought, oh, this will be fun. So I had this great hobby for 5 or 6 years in my teens, and I discovered I don't think I want a 9-to-5 job. I want to see if there's a way to make movies for my career. And I've managed to fool people now for going on almost four decades.
You're still fooling them. You still got them tricked.
Yep, I got them fooled. I'm just a kid with a movie camera, hobby kid. You know, when I was a kid making movies with my friends in the backyards up in Alberta, Canada, I never thought I would make one feature, let alone over 40 of them, and I don't really know how I did it. I just kept saying yes to jobs. I took every job there was, and I did a lot of TV series. I've directed over 29, almost 30 television series, episodes of different
series. It's amazing. It's just amazing.
It's a really hard business to survive in.
It's tough. Yeah.
You just got to keep dedicated and pushing forward.
Yeah. You just got a gift, David. Let's just hand you that. You've got a gift. I mean, you start out at that young age, and you just knew how to deliver it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I learned early on directing episodic television that if you didn't get the day done in 12 hours, there would be a different director coming in the next day.
Yeah. You had the hot button. It's like it's in or out, right?
Exactly, yeah. So I started out way back when I was going to go to film school back in the 80s, and I shocked my father by telling him one day, why don't we just go buy film stock, Dad, and we'll go make a feature film all by ourselves. And once I picked him up off the floor and got him back to normal, he was thinking, yeah, okay, whatever, kid, let's try it. And so I literally went out and spent all this money for film school on my first feature, which was called Storm. Warner Home Video released it in like 87 or something, and it did fairly well. I thought it's a big experiment for a naive 20-year-old, and if I actually get this done, maybe I'll have a career. And that one you invested only
$50,000, right?
At the time, it was about $50,000. Yeah, it ended up being a little over $100,000 over 4 or 5 years. I spent basically all of my 20s making one movie.
Unbelievable, And that was your first one. That was like your debut.
Yeah, I did. I'd done short films before that, and I thought, well, you know, how much harder could a feature be? It's only like five shorts kind of glued together, you know? So I thought, if I can make a short film, I can make a feature. There's something to be said for being naive when you're in your 20s. You don't realize how impossible the task is you're about to embrace, but it's worked out well.
Well, we'll have to say one thing about you in your 20s. At the age of 27, you landed big with producing Friday the 13th, the series, for Paramount. I mean, we have to say that's pretty huge.
Yeah, and it was funny because I had got myself into the Directors Guild by doing my first movie, and so they had a book of all the directors. And somebody fell out on an episode of the series Friday the 13th, which was filming in Toronto, Canada. Somebody fell out, and so the producer went through the book, and they said, winning, sounds positive, hire him. And that's literally how I got my first job. I was 26, and they said, how old are you? And I said, well, I'm 35. I had to lie to get in, but white lie.
You had to lie about your age.
I did, yeah. Now I'm lying the other way.
Right. You had the intelligence because you started training when you were 10. I got to lie about my age so I can do this. So I can play
and,
with
you. No, I'm a 6'4". I'm a big Canadian boy, so it was kind of easy to look older.
There you go. Yeah, you can pass as older because you're 6'4", and, you know, you got to play with the big boys, so you're going to get in here and lie about their age. Right. I got you.
And then it's easy and to you, get you in the door.
You obviously played it off very well. You did a great job.
It's easy to get in the door, but you have to stay in by delivering some quality product in the time allotted.
That's right.
There's torn up pages in this book. Words that tell me I'm no good. Chapters that define me for so long. Story. God is in the details.
break, David Winning talks about his Directors Guild Award for TV dramas and more. We'll be back. Stay with us.
I'll never forget the day I nearly died. I was a young journalist with a great career, starting a family. The only way we found out I had any kind of heart issue was when I went into sudden death. My coworkers sprung into action. They've recently been trained in life-saving CPR protocols developed by the American Heart Association. They're the ones that kept me alive until the medics came. They did many tests on me in the hospital after my cardiac arrest and created a treatment plan, all with research from the American Heart Association. I think unless you are a heart disease patient, you may not know how much work the American Heart Association does behind the scenes to save your life. Since my cardiac arrest, I've had two more children. I've watched all three of my children grow into adulthood. I'm gonna cry now. Graduate from college, my daughter got married. I have grandchildren, and I'm still here.
Learn more about the American Heart Association's work at helpheart.org.
Your accolades, I mean, let me say, they are pretty impressive. I mean, we're talking about, you've got, I saw something in here about 90 awards. What was
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
90 international awards?
It's getting up there. It's getting up there toward 90, yeah. And a lot of that has
That's
been,
incredible.
Not all of it, a lot of it has been from Houston, because I won a lot of awards in Houston, which is why I feel so sort of dedicated to them and to trying to promote them.
Wow. Wow. And then the a national award from the Directors Guild, you mentioned that earlier, for the Outstanding Award in Television Drama. That's the one
right.
you were talking about. Is that from...
Yeah, I did it was from an episode of a series I did.
Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
It was, and that was, the national award was for Twice in a Lifetime, which was like a Canadian version of Touched by an Angel. You remember that series? Also, inspirational stories about second chances at life. It was a great series that they produced in Toronto. I think PAX and PAX Network, when they were up and running, and NBC were involved.
Well, you know, I found it interesting, the hit sequel Turbo, a Power Rangers movie for 20th Century Fox. I mean, you know, that was big. I mean, you were the fourth highest selling DVD.
Yeah, I was very proud of that movie, even though I get teased by it almost every day. I thought to myself, you know, I've done 40 movies, and I've done like 30 television series, and on my tombstone, I've won Directors Guild Awards, and on my tombstone it's going to say, he directed the Power Rangers sequel.
That's big.
I loved it.
That's
well, I had a lot of fun.
Look at that genre. Look at that. Think about
yeah,
it.
I was a big celebrity for seven-year-olds. They thought I was a huge star. So.
That is huge. I mean, come on.
Came out in 1996. There's been another sequel of the Power Rangers movie that was sort of a $100 million movie that came out in the last 5 years, but mine was the one back in the 90s.
Wow. I just think it's so cool that you've been able to do the balancing act. You know, that's what we call it, the balancing act between all of that different genres, I mean, from kids and all the way up. And, you know, and one thing that I noticed with you is it's kind of like you have a pattern with your directing where you kind of get in a little shoebox.
Oh, that's the way it is for all of us, I think. You know, you do kid series. I did kid series for Nickelodeon for 4 or 5 years, and then you just can't get out of that mold. And then I did monster movies for Sci-Fi Channel, and I've done a ton of science fiction, Stargate Atlantis, and Andromeda with Kevin Sorbo, and Earth, Final Conflict, a bunch of Roddenberry series, which is great because I kind of grew up on the original Star Trek, and so it was a thrill for me to work in anything with Roddenberry's name on it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's so interesting. But you do that for a few years, and then you jump to another genre. I mean, and then you get into like science fiction, and you're in that for a while. And it's so funny.
I wish I could take claim credit for trying to direct a brilliant, varied career. But honestly, it's just because I say yes to everything. So suddenly something will switch you in a different direction, and off you'll go to a different genre. But I mean, it's nice to
You're
be fully rounded.
Kind of, You're just curious.
It's not really
right?
a genre that I haven't directed now, which is great.
Well, I think it's because you're a kid at heart. You know,
I am.
That's the reason. Yeah, you're a kid at heart, and you want to experience everything you can.
Yeah. And I said to someone yesterday, if the day comes when I get on set and I'm talking to actors and I'm bored, I'm just going to quit. Because I still love it, and I still get really excited by
the
job every day because it's just fun.
Well, you know, I have to say, I mean, we started out the conversation talking about Hallmark, and then we're getting into all this about horror films and monster and all this other stuff and science fiction. But, you know, have you really transformed from horror to Hallmark? Or
no, I sort of believe that everything is entertainment. It's the challenge is to find any way to bring people into a story. It could be a horror movie. It could be a science fiction show. It could be a beautiful Christmas movie with the family. It's a challenge mm-hmm. to find any way in, just to bring, however you tell the story with your, you know, visual flair or the way you choreograph scenes or just your sense of humor or your ethics or whatever it is that you bring to a project. I think it's all just really about entertainment.
All about entertainment. You're right. It really is. And the main thing is that's what you love. I mean, the biggest thing you love about film, or what is the most important thing about making films to you?
The thing that I love about the Hallmark movies is it's an incredible opportunity to make people cry, which I love to do. Cry and laugh, because they're very heartfelt stories. And when I started doing Hallmark Channel movies, I got teased about it because people were saying, "Oh, they're so predictable. They're so predictable." But when you're a director, that's the challenge, is to make it different. And sure, you know, they have a, like I said, safe harbor. You kind of know what's going to happen in a Hallmark Channel movie, but the writing is really good in these movies, and it's a lot of fun to just kind of play around with it and pull all the heartstrings and get people teary and get them laughing, and, you know, you end up with a feel-good, because it's always going to be that. You know, it's always going to end up the way you want it. That's part of safe harbor.
It's a safe harbor. Yeah. And, of course, they're going to love the director if it's safe harbor.
Well, nobody knows who I am. I'm hiding in the background.
Well, you know, if you're in the entertainment, they're going to know who you are.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm proud that I've got a good reputation of being really nice to crews, and I always try to create a really wonderful atmosphere when I'm working. I like it to be fun and entertaining, and I like to be the one that eats the stress. Nobody else. It's just me. It's my problem to make it work, and everybody else, I just really want to have, like, you know, summer camp. I like to have a really good time when we make shows.
Oh, wow. Wow. So, you have been around some big people. I mean, we're talking some big names in entertainment. I'm looking at Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling was 16. I did a series called Breaker High for Nickelodeon. And one day he was like, I'm not going to go to set until you carry me. So I thought, okay, I had to carry a 16-year-old Ryan Gosling to set. He's wonderful. I knew he was wonderful when he was 16. I knew he was going to be a big deal. Just a really great person. Incredible sense of humor that he has. I'm surprised he hasn't done more comedy.
I know. He hasn't done much comedy, has he?
But there's a guy who has the chops for it.
Oh, wow. So, and Patrick Duffy, I noticed he's on the list. I mean,
I did a Fox Family Channel movie with him, Don't Look Behind You, years ago, and then I did an episode of that series I mentioned, Twice in a Lifetime. Just a wonderful guy to work with. And he told me, you know, when he was doing the shows, he said, you know, I did Dallas for like 13 years, and I did Man from Atlantis for 2 years, and then I did Step by Step, I think the sitcom was called, for like 8 years. And he says, I haven't been out of a job in 30 years. I don't know what it is to look for work. And I thought, that must be a blessing. But he doesn't know
what it's like to look for work.
he's a really wonderful person. It's nice when you meet your idols and they come through. You know, he was just really genuine.
And most of the time they are. They're just normal people, you know. They're just down to earth. And, yeah, and that's what I tell everybody.
And a lot of them are so shy, too, you know.
Yeah, they're all just down to earth.
Yep.
And, you know, I noticed that you recently, is this recently the one, or how long ago did you do the one with Kevin Sorbo and Robert Englund and Bruce Dern?
2006, I think. 15 years back, we did this trilogy of monster movies for the Sci-Fi Channel and RHI, Robert Holney Entertainment. and we shot them in Montreal. And we ended up, I did basically three movies in about 7 months. It was quite a workload. Kevin Sorbo, Robert Englund from the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, and my idol, I got to work with Bruce Dern, who was fantastic.
Ah, wow. So that one really set the mark, didn't it? I mean, it really did well.
Yeah, it was. Well, they were very tongue-in-cheek kind of, you know, B-movies, horror movies, but they did pretty well. They ran on Sci-Fi Channel in the States and Space Channel up in Canada and all over the place.
Can't escape disappointment, can't avoid the delay. But I don't have to make feeling down and defeated the place that I stay. Gonna rise to the moment, gonna speak to the waves. Gonna push back the doubt that keeps dragging me down when I can't find a way. Don't need to see it, eyes on you.
The Bev Moore Show, live streaming on the iHeart Network and over 185 broadcast stations in 37 countries around the world. I'm Bev Moore. My interview with Hollywood film and television director David Winning continues. Stay with us.
As Americans, there's one thing we can all agree on: the promise of our Constitution. And the hope that liberty and justice is for all people. But here's the truth. Attacks on our constitutional rights, yours and mine, are greater than they've ever been. The right for all to vote, reproductive rights, the rights of immigrant families, the right to equal justice for Black, Brown, and LGBTQ plus folks.
We protect everyone's rights, the freedom of religion, the freedom of expression, racial justice, LGBTQ rights, the rights of the disabled, We are here for everyone.
For over 100 years, the ACLU has fought on behalf of millions of Americans, protecting our vote and our voice. I believe in the ACLU because they're for real. To learn more about how the ACLU is fighting for your rights and mine, go to myaclu.org today.
And I've even noticed here that you did Mr. Young and Max and Fred and the Stanley Dye. You've done just about everything.
Well, that's what you mentioned, Bev, about getting sort of put in a shoebox, because that was the period when I was just, it seemed like all I could do. And they were great. I enjoyed the experience. I don't complain about it. But all you can do is sitcom kid shows, which was great. I had a ton of fun with that, you know. And then it just takes some scary
you
monster
really
movie
didn't have fun.
You out of that.
Yeah,
this yeah, no, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it's Nickelodeon. All this is on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you did romantic comedy, The Town That Came Down a Courtin.
Town That Came a Courtin from Rhonda Rich's novel. Rhonda
yeah.
Rich is wonderful. Yeah. And Holly Dale and Valerie Harper. It was one of her last movies.
Oh, my.
And
yeah.
It was a ton of fun. That was actually for Up TV. That was just before I kind of got into the Hallmark sphere. So.
Wow.
Really
and
great,
then,
great
you know,
people.
one thing I noticed, I mean, I know you said you got into Christmas movies, and I mean, I think that kind of, when you were first approached about Christmas movies, about doing your first one, what was your reaction?
I thought you had the wrong guy. Because I was simultaneously directing Van Helsing for Netflix, which is, if you're familiar with it, is an extremely violent, gruesome vampire series. It's a great series, but it's like the polar opposite of Hallmark. And I thought, do they know who they're asking to do this? But like I said, it's all entertainment.
Yeah, that's why I said horror to Hallmark. Horror to Hallmark.
Yep.
It's like, wow.
There was
you know, what is
a period in my career where I just referred to it as mistletoe and monsters.
That's a good comparison, right? So, how did you get convinced that you could do that? You wanted to do this. I mean, what
well,
is
I just
it?
I mean, I probably needed a job. It's the reality of the business. I think you know something had ended, and I thought, well, I've got a free period. Let me give it a shot. And
you just gave it a shot.
A lot of fun. Yeah,
yeah,
I did.
And then you ended up falling in love with it.
The first one I did was 2015, I think it was called Magic Stocking, and that was just the beginning of a whole role. Like I said, I just finished my 25th for them, but they've been, I'm not complaining, they've been great to me.
Well, you know, what amazes me is that you go into something that you've never tried before, that's totally out of your spectrum, okay? And then all of a sudden, you make one of these films, the tree, what is it, The Tree That Saved Christmas? It ranked, and then it's ranked by the New York Times as one of the 5 best Christmas movies of the season.
Yeah, and Bev, you love this. It was my first movie with Lacey Chabert. I've done a bunch with her, and she's wonderful. And we did this movie, The Tree That Saved Christmas, and we filmed it in 11 days.
Oh, my gosh.
And, it was just, you know, super fast production. And it
how
ended
in the
up
world?
I have no idea how it ended up on the New York Times radar, but they did rate it as one of the top 5 picks for 2014 for Christmas movies. So I'm very proud of it.
That's almost that's saying this is you. This is what you have to do now, right?
Yep. I go where I'm asked to go. I'm having like a ton of fun doing this. So.
Yes, you are. Yeah, I have to say. I mean. When I saw that, I was like, this guy is meant to do Christmas movies, and he really needs to stay there. Yeah.
I think I can come up with a pretty scary thriller in the next few years, too.
So we're going to see some more horror. We're going to see thrillers.
Oh, yeah. I love thrillers. Well, I think thrillers are my favorite genre. When, in the 70s, you remember Marathon Man, Laurence Olivier, and Dustin Hoffman's probably one of my all-time favorite thrillers, and I thought, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to make movies like that, scary thrillers.
Ooh, so. Well, you'll have to keep me posted.
I will.
You need to. Yeah, so we can push it through our platform. Make sure we push all your, everything that you're doing. We'd love that.
I would love to.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just, I'm now, all of this is just, it says here that first of nearly 20 for Hallmark Magic Stocking. What is this?
That was the first one I did, yeah. Bridget Regan and Victor Webster was the first sort of test the waters, see if this guy can direct a Christmas movie. And it was about a little puppy at Christmas. How could I go wrong?
Oh, wow. 3 million viewers. Unbelievable. Generating 47 million posts on Twitter.
That was one of the later ones. That was one of their popular ones called Unleashing Mr. Darcy. I think there's been a sequel, but I did the first one, and I was really proud of it. And the writer tweeted about it so much, and we all kind of joined the bandwagon and wrote tweets when it was airing, and it literally broke the Hallmark Channel's network record for social media with 47 million tweets. Interview with Hollywood film and television director David Winning continues.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
When the best of me is barely breathing, when I'm not somebody I believe in, hold on to me. When I miss the light, the night is stolen, when I'm slamming all the doors you've opened, hold on to me. Hold on to me. Hold on to me.
Is there anything else that you want to tell us, that you want to share with us about, you know, the film that you want to promote for the festival? Any way that we can find it? How can we find it to look it up or anything?
Well, with Hallmark Channel, they tend to rerun them quite a bit, so it'll show up next Christmas. The nice thing is that all these movies I do are going to outlive me, because every Christmas they keep recycling them, which is great. But it's Time to Come Home series that Blake Shelton created from his songs, and there's five of them. I did the first one, the third one, and this fifth one that just came out.
That Blake Shelton did, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Blake Shelton wrote a Christmas song.
Yeah.
And his mother wrote a book, and then Hallmark grabbed them and said, let's make a movie out of this story, because it's a great story.
So what do you think of Blake?
I think Blake's great. He promotes us really well, and which is wonderful.
He's pretty funny, right?
Yeah, I think if he can write a song that makes five movies, it's kind of an achievement.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right? He's doing good for himself. That's true.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, this is awesome. This is great. Well, listen, I have really enjoyed talking to you. I really have.
And you're too kind. I appreciate
the support.
I
just want to thank you so much, so much for coming on my show, the Bev Moore Show. That's our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed my interview with film and TV director David Winning. Known for directing over 20 Hallmark TV Christmas movies, the Friday the 13th TV series for Paramount Pictures, and many more award-winning film and TV credits. Thank you for listening to The Bev Moore Show, broadcasting on BBS Radio on the iHeart Network worldwide. I'm Bev Moore. Until next time, bye-bye.
That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. Because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am. I am yours.
shall I fear? Whom shall I fear?